Let's just be honest about the reality facing every single person in SEO right now. The debate, the one we've all been having for what feels like forever, is it's over. We're not sitting in meeting rooms anymore arguing about whether AI is useful for content.
Right. That ship has sailed. I mean, it's left the harbor. It's crossed the ocean.
Exactly. Everyone knows it is. If you're in this industry, you're using it. And if you aren't, well, your competitors definitely are.
Without a doubt.
But because that first question is answered, the whole industry has sort of stumbled into this much more complex and honestly a much more dangerous phase.
It is dangerous. We're past the can we, and we're deep into the should we, and more importantly, how should we?
Yeah,
Yeah.
exactly. We're now facing this silent crisis of debt. There's this very specific kind of content debt that is just piling up in CMSs all over the web.
That's a great way to put it. Content debt.
And the core insight we really need to unpack today is that while AI has completely changed the volume of work we can do, it's also completely broken the link between effort and outcome.
The correlation is gone.
It's gone. We're seeing teams hit these record-breaking throughput numbers. They're shipping drafts faster than ever, but the rankings, they just aren't following the volume.
In some cases, they're going down.
Right? The more they ship, the more their average position actually degrades. The really surprising fact from all these, 2025 style experiments is that AI by itself, it rarely beats human SEO in terms of the final result. It only wins on throughput.
It wins on speed, not on strategy. So the hook for today's deep dive is really this. If you stop applying human judgment, you're going to get pages that look complete. They might even read okay to someone just skimming. Sure, on the surface.
But they will never, ever earn a single click. So today isn't about how to use a tool. It's about fixing that split between making things fast and making things that actually work. Welcome to the Content Ship Podcast. This is a show about how content actually works today, not how it used to work. We talk about search, AI systems, and the operational side of producing content that survives change. So I want to start this off by really setting the scene. The old world versus where we are today. Because I think we forget how painful the old way was. And well, that amnesia leads us to make some pretty big mistakes now.
Yeah, it's easy to forget the grind.
It really is.
Yeah.
If we rewind just a few years, pre-AI, creating a truly competitive, evergreen piece of content, something designed to really own a difficult keyword, it was a massive project.
Oh, huge.
We're not talking about a quick blog post. We mean those comprehensive 10, 15,000 word definitive
These
guides.
pillar
The
pages.
pillars, exactly.
Yeah.
And back then, a piece like that could easily take 2 months to get right.
If you were lucky, I've seen them take a whole quarter.
Right. And the writing, I mean, the writing was maybe 40% of the work. The rest was what I'd call structural engineering. You had to map out the entire hierarchy, make sure the tone was consistent across 20 different subheadings, check for internal consistency.
All the internal linking,
Dead
the
ends.
linking, the editing, it was ruthless. It was grueling work. But here's the thing. When you published it, it usually ranked. It ranked because the barrier to entry was sheer effort. If you put in those 2 months, you created a resource that was so comprehensive and so experience-led that Google had to reward that density.
The effort was a proxy for quality in a way.
It was. Now, flip the switch. Today's workflow, that same structural skeleton, that 10,000-word monster, you can assemble that in under a week.
Maybe even a couple of days if you're really pushing it.
You can. And teams are seeing these massive spikes in draft volume. Suddenly, you can run more iterations, explore five different angles for a topic you would have only had time for once. You can ship drafts at a pace that was, I mean, it was physically impossible for a human team in 2022.
Completely unimaginable. And this is where the illusion happens. The trap is believing that speed equals edge.
That's the core misunderstanding.
It is.
The data we're looking at today suggests something very, very specific. AI does not create the edge. Traffic doesn't come from the fact that you generated the page. Nope.
Traffic comes from fundamentals. It comes from real human demand. It comes from doing realistic competition analysis. It comes from matching the user's intent perfectly.
The boring stuff that I
The
would.
boring stuff that still works, and the failure mode, that silent debt I mentioned,
Yeah.
it happens when you pull the human element out of that process. You get what we call the classic failures.
I think I know what's on this list.
Oh, yeah. You get facts that are just slightly wrong.
Yeah.
You get intent that is completely mismatched. The user wants a calculator, and you give them a history of mathematics.
Right.
You get thin angles, and worst of all, you get pages that look polished. They have H2s, they have bullet points, they have intro paragraphs. But they are empty.
They're hollow. There's no soul to them.
They are void of the specific insight that makes a human being actually stay on the page and read.
And I want to double click on that phrase you used, content debt.
Yeah.
Because usually when we talk about tech debt, you know, we mean messy code that you have to fix later.
Mm-hmm.
But this is different.
It's very different.
You're describing a website that looks healthy on the surface. It's got thousands of pages. The last updated dates are fresh, nice headers.
Yeah.
But underneath, it's rotting.
It's rotting from the inside out. It looks like what I call the traffic plateau of death.
Okay, explain that.
So here's the scenario. You've got your new AI workflow. You're shipping 50 articles a week. Your graph in your dashboard for published pages is going up and to the right. It looks beautiful in the boardroom.
The vanity metric looks great.
Looks amazing. But your traffic graph, it's flat. Or even worse, it's just slowly bleeding out month over month.
And that debt is the reason why. You've flooded your own site with what Google now explicitly calls unhelpful content.
Exactly. And now the algorithm isn't just ignoring the new stuff. It's starting to mistrust your old stuff, the good stuff.
You're diluting your own domain authority with every one of those generic AI drafts you hit publish on.
It's like watering down a fine wine. At first, it's okay, but eventually, it's just purple water.
And it has no value. And you're right. The first place this breakdown happens is not in the writing itself. It's way, way before that. It's in the first step of the entire process.
The strategy.
The strategy. That distinction you made between throughput and outcome is exactly the right lens for this. And you're spot on. The breakage happens immediately, often before a single word is even generated. It starts with strategy and specifically keyword research and intent mapping.
Okay, so let's dig into that. Why does AI, which is this incredible data processor, fail at something that seems like it should be its strength?
Well, to understand that, we have to look at what keyword research actually is. It's not one single action. It's two very distinct phases.
Yeah.
Phase one is what I call surfacing demand signals. This is just finding the data, getting the raw material.
Right, the long list of potential keywords.
Exactly. And phase two is interpreting those signals. This is where you decide what to do with that data. This is the human part.
And AI is good at phase one.
It's incredible at phase one.
Yeah.
I mean, it compresses that work dramatically. You can give a large language model a seed topic, let's say enterprise cloud storage, and ask it for adjacent intents, topic clusters, SRP features to watch for.
And you get a list in seconds.
In minutes, you get a list that used to take a junior SEO 3 days to compile. I mean, in the old workflow, you were manually triangulating everything. You were scraping Google autocomplete, clicking through all the people also ask boxes, looking at competitor H2s, running it all through a difficulty tool.
Just a whole process.
There's a slog. AI does that data aggregation instantly, but here's the trap.
Okay.
The trap is assuming that the output of that data gathering is a strategy. It is not. It is just a list of possibilities.
It's raw data, not insight. Precisely. The failure happens because AI really struggles with phase two, the interpretation. And we see these specific failure patterns over and over again. Like, what's the first big one?
First, there's the issue of linguistic similarity versus usurpiality.
Okay, break that down.
AI often mixes intents that look similar linguistically, you know, where words are close, but they behave completely differently in the actual search results. For example, if you ask for keywords related to a software product, the AI might group the software free trial and software pricing model into the same content brief.
Because to a machine, free trial and pricing are both about cost.
Exactly. To an LLM, those are semantically close. But to an experienced SEO, one of those triggers a transactional product page and the other triggers a long-form comparative blog post. If you try to combine them onto one page,
you'll rank for neither of them.
You'll rank for neither. You satisfy no one. The biggest failure mode we see, though, is just pure intent mismatch. And this is where the AI gets really confident and really, really wrong.
Give me an
example. Okay, take the keyword CRM integration. Linguistically, the AI sees that and thinks, I will write a definition of what integration is. So it writes a beautiful 2,000-word essay on the history of API connectivity. It sounds helpful, but it's completely useless.
Because that's not what the person searching for wants.
Not at all. If you actually go and look at the SRP, the search engine results page, Google isn't ranking definitions for that query. It's ranking how-to guides and software lists.
The person searching CRM integration is trying to do something right now. They have a problem to solve.
They're trying to fix a problem, not read a history textbook. The AI missed the intent because it only looked at the words. A second big failure is that AI tends to propose keywords that are either way too broad to win or way too narrow to matter.
Because it doesn't know your site's authority.
It has no context for your specific domain authority. It will happily suggest you go after a huge head term that you have zero chance of cracking just because it's semantically relevant to your topic.
Or the opposite, a keyword with 10 searches a month.
Right. And the third failure, this one's more subtle, is that it completely misses the product's buying cycle. It doesn't understand that your specific customer might need to see a definitional piece before they're ready for a solution-focused piece. Just throws it all in a bucket.
So this is where the human advantage, that interpretation layer, is still, well, it's everything.
It's undefeated. Experienced SEOs spot patterns that spreadsheets and LLMs just can't see. When a human looks at a SERP, they're not just reading text. They're asking these qualitative questions.
Like what?
Like, are the top results mostly templates or calculators? If they are, a long-form blog post is dead on arrival.
Right. Don't bring a knife to a gunfight.
Exactly. They're asking, do forums like Reddit or Quora dominate this conversation? If yes, that's a huge signal that users want authentic peer-to-peer advice, not another corporate guide.
They want real experience.
They want real experience. They're asking, is Google treating this as a simple definition query? Or is the click curve being totally eaten by featured snippets and video carousels? These are strategic observations, not just data points.
And it all comes back to Google's own guidance, doesn't it? The whole helpful, reliable, people-first content thing.
It's the standard. That document is not a technical manual. It is a philosophical reminder that relevance is the only metric that matters. It's not about using a keyword tool to find a high-volume term. It's about asking, can I actually be relevant to the person searching for this? So the takeaway on strategy is pretty clear. Use AI to find the signals, but don't let it tell you which signals to follow. That's it. Use it to widen your net. But a human brain has to decide what to do with what you catch. Once that strategy is set, though, then we move into the actual creation phase. And this is where we run into what we've started calling the junior partner problem.
I love that phrase, the junior partner concept, because it perfectly frames the relationship you need to have with these tools during the drafting phase.
It's a really helpful mental model.
It is. And we need to really drill down into this, because this is where the daily work happens for so many people. The best way to think about the AI tool during the writing phase is not as an author, and it's definitely not as a generator. You have to treat it like a junior SEO assistant.
Okay, so unpack that. What does a junior assistant do?
Well, think about a great junior assistant. They're eager, they're available 24/7, they help you brainstorm. If you're stuck on a sentence, they can rewrite it in 5 different ways.
Mm-hmm.
If you need a transition between 2 complex ideas, they can frame it for you. If you need 5 examples of a specific concept, they can generate them in, what, 3 seconds? That is incredibly valuable.
Massive accelerator.
It is. However, and this is the big, bold, all caps caveat, they are not accountable for truth.
There's the catch.
That's the catch. And I know a lot of people listening are probably thinking, wait a minute, I just paid $20 a month for a tool that claims it's an expert writer. If I have to treat it like an intern who makes stuff up, why am I even using it? Why not just hire a human?
That is the million-dollar question, isn't it?
It is. And the answer is leverage, pure and simple. Even a messy intern can run faster than you. If you need to summarize 50 competitor articles to find a common content gap, a human researcher takes 3 days. The junior partner AI takes 3 minutes.
So you're trading one type of work for another.
Exactly. You are trading drafting time for editing time. You are effectively promoting yourself from writer to editor-in-chief. But if you abdicate that editor role, that's when you get in trouble.
That's when you get fired.
That's when you get fired. Mm. If you've ever managed a very green intern, you know this feeling. They hand you a report and it looks fantastic. The formatting is perfect. Spelling is correct. The tone is super professional.
Looks great on the surface.
But if you don't actually check their sources, you might find that the core statistic they base their entire argument on is from 2014, or they just completely misunderstood it.
Right. And that is exactly what working with AI is like. There's a cost to this assistant work. We call it the fixing tax.
The fixing tax. I like that.
It's a real thing. In practical reality, for every hour you use an AI as your personal assistant, you should budget time to catch multiple mistakes.
Mm.
We've seen on our teams in busy weeks when we're really pushing volume, seasoned SEOs will find themselves fixing 10 to 15 small issues per hour of AI output.
That's a significant number, 10 to 15 issues an hour.
It's a lot. And it's not just typos.
So what kind of errors are we talking about here?
Well, you've got the classic hallucinated statistics. The AI will confidently tell you that 70% of marketers prefer X. And when you go looking for the source, It doesn't exist. It just made it up.
The ghost source.
The ghost source. Second, you get these made-up explanations for why something ranks. It might say a competitor is ranking because of their amazing meta description, which, as we know, is almost certainly false.
Right. That's not a direct ranking factor.
And third, and this is the most dangerous one in my opinion, are the subtle misunderstandings of your specific product or a niche topic. It might describe a software feature that sounds plausible, but it doesn't actually exist in the current version of the tool.
And if a potential customer reads that, you've just lost all credibility.
Instantly. This is why we need a framework for trust.
Which brings us to Google's own guidelines, the Search Quality Evaluator Guidelines, specifically EEAT.
Experience, expertise, authoritativeness, and trustworthiness.
Right. Now, we all know we don't optimize for the raters directly. They don't impact your rankings in real time. But you absolutely should be using EAT as a checklist. It's the perfect tool to catch content that reads polished but lacks any real experience. It's a gut check. It's a gut check. When you read an AI draft, you have to ask yourself, does this demonstrate experience? Does this sound like it was written by someone who has actually done the thing they are writing about? Or does it sound like someone who just read the Wikipedia page about the thing?
Exactly. An AI cannot have experience. It's impossible. It can mimic expertise by summarizing other expert content, but it cannot mimic genuine lived experience. That is your job. Your job as the senior partner in this relationship is to inject that experience, to verify the trustworthiness, and to make sure the authority is actually earned, not just simulated.
That's the human layer of value.
It is. And before we get into the solution, the actual practical workflow that solves this split between speed and quality, just want to take a brief pause here. If you're finding this deep dive into modern content operations useful, please consider subscribing or sharing the show. We're really building this for people who are in the trenches of SEO and content every day, and your support helps us keep going deeper into these topics. All right, so moving into this solution, we have to talk about governance. The goal of a modern SEO workflow can't just be more content. It has to be experiment-driven SEO that balances speed with control.
Right. We need a way to let the AI move fast without letting it publish a bunch of unreviewed assumptions.
It's scary, isn't it? You've got this powerful tool that hallucinates facts. It misses user intent. It can dilute your brand. The natural reaction for a lot of companies is just to ban it, to say, nope. No AI allowed here.
But we know that doesn't work either, because then you just get completely outpaced by the competitors who do figure this out.
You can't ban the calculator just because you might type the wrong numbers in. You need a process to check the math.
So what does that process actually look like? Because governance can sound like a really boring corporate buzzword. We have to make this practical for a team that has a deadline on Friday.
Totally. So we've broken this down into a four-step governed workflow. And whether you're running an agency, you're a freelancer, or you're on an in-house team, this structure is really designed to protect you from that content debt we were talking about earlier.
Okay, let's hear it. Step one.
Step one is monitor the market, not just your backlog.
Oh, that's interesting. Most teams start their workflow by looking at their own spreadsheet of ideas.
And that's a mistake.
Yeah.
They open up a list of ideas they came up with 6 months ago. The market has changed since then. You need to be looking outward. You need to be monitoring industry news, competitor product announcements, and specifically shifts in the SRPs themselves.
Because those are the best early signals for new keywords.
They're the best. If a competitor launches a new feature or if a new regulation hits your industry, that creates this immediate wave of new search demand. You want to be there to catch that wave early.
Okay, so you're monitoring the market. What's step two?
Step two is score your ideas. This is the filter. This might be the most important step for preserving your sanity and your budget.
You have to be ruthless.
You have to be ruthless. You must not write everything just because you found a keyword. And just because an AI can write a draft for it in 10 minutes does not mean you should.
Right.
You need a scoring system. If an idea doesn't clearly match a target persona, a specific business goal, AND, a realistic keyword opportunity, you have to kill it.
This is so critical for agencies and freelancers especially. Time is literally margin.
Every hour you spend polishing a post that was never going to convert anyway is just lost revenue.
Yeah.
You have to be brutal here.
Okay, so monitor, then score. Step three.
Step three is human-owned outlining. This is the pivotal moment in the entire creation process. It's fine to draft with AI, that's the whole point, but the human must own the outline.
This is a key distinction.
It's a massive distinction. When the outline is yours, when you have decided on the headers, the flow of the argument, the key takeaways, the AI becomes a multiplier. It's just filling in your pre-approved structure.
But if you let the AI generate the outline,
you inherit its blind spots. You inherit its generic structure. You inherit its complete misunderstanding of the user journey we talked about earlier. You must hold the pen when the skeleton of the article is being built.
I love that. Hold the pen. Okay, and step four.
Step four is what we call the content ship approach. And this is really where tools that are designed for governance like content ship fit into the picture. The idea is to automate the radar, not the judgment.
Automate the radar, not the judgment.
You want a system that's monitoring all those niche feeds for you, keeping your radar on 24/7. You want a system that can deduplicate breaking stories. So if 10 sources report on the same Google update, you don't get 10 alerts. You get one clean, actionable idea. And you want a system that helps you with step two, scoring those candidates from 0 to 100 against your own strategic context. So by the time a topic even gets to the drafting phase in this workflow, it's already passed three critical gates. It's relevant, it's scored, and it has a human-owned structure.
So the foundation is solid before you even start writing.
Exactly. But even with this perfect workflow, with the perfect strategy and the perfect outline, that final draft eventually gets created. And that draft needs a very specific kind of review. It's not a spell check. We call it a safety check. That safety check is the final line of defense. And I want to be really clear here. This is not about proofreading for commas. I mean, AI is actually pretty good with commas. Grammar is usually fine.
This is about preventing your site from completely tanking because you published something that was factually wrong or just unhelpful nonsense.
Right. The high-risk stuff.
The high-risk stuff. So we recommend a specific 5-point quality checklist. You don't need a huge bureaucratic process. You just need to be consistent. Every single piece of AI-assisted content must pass these 5 checks before it goes live.
Okay, let's walk through them. What's number one? Check number one, the intent check. Simple question. Does the page answer the same question that the top search results are answering? Did the draft drift?
Did the draft drift? It happens all the time. You start with a keyword like CRM integration. The top results are all how-to guides, but somehow through the drafting process, the AI drift leads your article into becoming a sales pitch for your product.
And it's no longer helpful for that query. It fails. Mm-hmm. You have to pull it back.
Yeah.
Okay, check number two, the claims check. This is the truth filter, the fact check.
The fact check. Any statistic, any date, any factual claim in that article must be verifiable. If the draft says, in 2023, the market grew by 5%, you need to find that source. If you can't find it in 30 seconds, you delete the sentence.
No exceptions.
No exceptions. And crucially, if the topic involves regulated advice, we're talking financial, medical, legal content, your money or your life topics, or any sensitive claims, AI should not be driving the final assertions. That is a hard and fast rule.
Absolutely. You need a qualified human expert for that.
Yeah.
Okay, number three, the angle check. Is there a real point of view here? Or is this just a generic summary that could exist on any website in the world? The Wikipedia problem.
Exactly. Bing actually has some really good content quality guidelines on this. They remind us that search engines reward usefulness, not just novelty. But usefulness almost always implies a perspective.
An angle.
An angle. If your article looks exactly like a Wikipedia summary of the topic, why would Google rank you above Wikipedia? You need an angle. Here's why this matters to you, the reader. Here is the one mistake most people make. That angle has to come from a human.
It's the so what. It's the so what.
Okay.
Okay, check number four. The SOP fit check. This is a formatting check, but it's critically important. Do your headings in your section order match what the SOPP is rewarding right now? You have to match the user's expectations.
You have to. If every single ranking page for a query starts with a definition and your page starts with a 500-word story about your childhood, you're going to lose.
Yeah.
You have to fit the cognitive model of the person searching.
Makes sense. And the last one?
Edit for voice. AI can write, but it cannot sound like you. It has this default internet voice. It's polite, it's a little bit wordy, and it's very, very bland.
The corporate robot voice.
The corporate robot voice. You have to go in and manually tighten that intro. You have to fix the transitions so they flow naturally. You have to rewrite the conclusion so it has some punch. You have to inject your brand's actual personality. This is what stops it from feeling like content sludge.
And I think we have to address the elephant in the room here, which is the helpful content update. Or the HCU, from late 2023 and into 2024. Because that was basically an extinction-level event for a lot of these content debt sites we're talking about, wasn't it?
It was a massacre. A complete massacre. And it was a direct response to this exact behavior. Google saw teams using those early crude AI tools to just spin up 5,000 pages of garbage.
And they had to do something.
They did. The HCU was Google effectively saying, okay, we are no longer ranking you based on keywords alone. We are now looking for signals of life. If your content looks and feels like it was generated by a robot with no oversight, we are going to treat it like spam.
So this workflow, this checklist we're discussing, it's not just about quality in some abstract sense. It's basically HCU insurance.
It's HCU insurance. That's a great way to put it. And we should probably clarify Google's official stance on generative AI because there's still a lot of fear and confusion.
There is, but they've been very explicit about it.
They have. It is not about if you used AI. They do not care about the tool you use to write the draft. They only care about the final result.
Is the result original?
Yeah.
Is it accurate? Is it useful to a human?
That's it. If you use AI to generate a spammy, duplicative, unhelpful page, you will lose. But guess what? You would have lost if a human wrote that same spammy page too.
Right. The penalty is for low quality, not for the methodology you use to create it.
Exactly. Quality is quality.
So to kind of bring this all together and to summarize the philosophy we've really walked through today.
Yeah, let's wrap it up.
We have to stop thinking of this as a binary choice. It is not AI versus human. That's the wrong framework.
It's a partnership.
It's a partnership. AI is a throughput tool. It is not a replacement for human judgment. It allows us to research faster. It lets us draft faster. It lets us refresh our entire content library on a weekly basis instead of a quarterly one. That is a massive operational advantage.
Huge.
But it does not provide taste. It does not provide judgment. And it absolutely does not provide accountability.
The human is always accountable for what gets published.
Always. So if we look at the key takeaways from this whole deep dive, they really center on four main pillars.
Okay.
First, strategy is human. Humans must interpret the demand signals. AI is just the net that catches the fish. You, the human, have to decide which fish are worth cooking.
I like that. Okay, what's number two?
Second, the outline is the anchor. Never, ever let the AI dictate the structure of your argument. A human-owned outline is what prevents you from inheriting the AI's blind spots and its generic worldview.
Hold the pen.
Hold the pen. Third, trust is earned. Treat the AI like that junior partner. Expect it to make 10 to 15 mistakes an hour. If you go in with that critical expectation, you'll catch them. If you go in trusting it blindly, you will get burned.
Guaranteed.
And the last one.
And finally, governance over steed. Use a scoring system. Be ruthless. Decide what to write long before you start writing it. The fastest way to slow down your long-term growth is to fill your site with low-quality pages that dilute your authority. It's a paradox. Moving fast makes you slow.
Exactly. And the reflective thought I really want to leave everyone with is this. The teams that are seeing sustainable, real traffic growth right now, the ones who are winning in 2025 and will win in 2026, they are the ones who have stopped asking, how do I replace my writers with AI? That's the old question. It's the old dead question. Instead, they're asking a much better question. How do I use AI to ship more of my team's best human thinking? That's the shift.
That is the entire shift. It's not about shipping more content. It's about shipping more of your best content faster.
That's the perfect place to wrap up. It's about amplification, not abdication. If you want to scale experiment-driven SEO without losing that critical human oversight, visit www.contentship.io to learn more about our governed workflows. You can book a demo or start a trial to see exactly how we combine AI discovery with human control. Thanks for listening to the Contentship Podcast.